Welcome to Moon Monkey. On this episode, we discuss Black Panther, directed by Ryan Coogler.
So, Black Panther, it follows the story of T'Challa, who's the king of a fictional African nation of Wakanda, and he's basically comes from a long line of Black Panthers who were given this sort of extraordinary power after an asteroid hit their country. And the basic setup for the film is sort of a power struggle for the crown of this country, and a clash of ideologies in a way. After we saw Black Panther in Civil War, this film, and a lot of people were very excited at seeing Black Panther in Civil War, and quite looking forward to this film, which is sort of more focused on this character specifically. And yeah, overall, it's had really positive reviews. I think it recently just hit 1 billion at the box office as well. Yeah. So like a lot of people are really enjoying this film.
Very high in Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, it is. It's getting really good reviews. Yeah. Overall, I mean, it's... Yeah, if you've seen the other Marvel films, it does stick very closely to, like, the same sort of structure, where they set up a villain, they show you, like, a backstory of the character. Because it's not an origin story, and it wasn't so much an origin story in the sense of some other characters, because the characters are already there and established. But he's taking over from his father, who, of course, died in Civil War. Spoilers for Civil War. And, yeah, he's now taking over the character.
Yeah, it followed on from that, like, but as what I liked about it as a standalone kind of movie. Like, you don't really need to have seen any other ones for Black Panther to make sense if you're familiar, even vaguely, with Marvel.
Yeah.
Because they do touch on the fact that his dad died and he's taken over, which was in a previous movie.
Yeah, everything you need is sort of given, they show you it in this movie as well, so you wouldn't be lost.
But you don't need to know, like, Andy Serkis was in Avengers and all that. He's still a standalone black guy.
Yeah,
and all that, like, that's what I liked about it, and it really just builds, like, a great world of Wakanda as well. Like, it's really, you really feel like it's a real place.
Yeah.
I feel like if Donald Trump saw this, he might think it was some kind of documentary, and it was, you know what I mean, could easily be filled. They create such a good world, like, with just, like, the costume and the soundtrack, it really all... together.
The costume design was really good, and the sort of African-inspired soundtrack with drums and stuff, that was all really cool. And they had a lot of sort of cultural references to Africa. Even though it's a fictional country, they drew on a lot of influence from sort of other African nations, I feel like. So there was a scene when they had trial by combat, and a lot of the rituals that they do were very symbolic. And the idea of sort of... there's a sequence in the movie where he's sort of given the juice from this plant, which is what gives him the power of the Black Panther, and then they go to see their ancestors. So the whole thing about ancestor worship and your descendants, that was really interesting concept, which hasn't really been covered in the same way in other Marvel films. Like, you've got Tony Stark and his father, but this was, like, more definitely focused on the whole family aspect.
I liked how it was, again, like, more focused on Africa in general, and not like an American, like, Black Panther movie. It was like quite a African cultural thing as well, which was quite interesting, because you don't really, I can't think of any movie. How many movies do you have that's focused on Africa? Like, I can't think of many at all, to be honest.
Not too many.
No. And especially recently. But I think, like, it was really interesting too, because I had lots of, like, it was quite a gender equality orientated movie with his sister, Letitia Wright, playing Shuri, who's, like, kind of stole the show a little bit. Like, yeah. Black Panther almost felt like Chadwick Boseman playing T'Challa.
Yeah.
Almost in places didn't feel like the main kind of guy, almost, because they had such a good supporting cast.
Yeah, his sister was definitely one of the highlights, because she had most of the comedic lines in it. Yeah. She was there as the comic relief. She's sort of the Q character.
Yeah.
She's James Bond. She comes up with all the gadgets. And I thought that was really nice, having sort of the female scientist and technology expert.
And also, like, the general as well, like, the head of, like, the Wakandan Special Forces.
Yeah.
Was Daniel Guerrero, who's, like, from Walking Dead and stuff as well. He's quite well known.
His character, like, T'Challa's character, the thing is, he wasn't that charismatic in the film, like, because he didn't have many comedic lines. He is a pretty stoic, serious guy. I mean, what he's facing is fairly serious.
I feel like his performance was very charismatic.
But he was just very serious and somber throughout.
I think the movie, I think this is one of the more serious Marvel movies, though, for me. I think this is quite a serious grown-up Marvel movie.
Yeah, it was more serious. But like you're saying, like the supporting cast around him tended to have more of the character moments, whereas he was sort of kingly.
Yeah.
Yeah, just but played it very straight.
I do feel like he was very charismatic.
He was very tough.
He was almost indestructible. There was times I basically thought that was one of my one minor issue I would have with it was I felt like, oh, he's never really gonna be in danger.
Yeah.
Even though at one point he nearly died.
Yeah.
But I still feel like, you know, he's never really like Black Panther's so badass. I feel like he's never really gonna have any problems.
There's a couple issues with the film that we'll maybe get to in a minute. One of the other characters that's received a lot of praise is Killmonger, who's the major villain in this film.
Michael B. Jordan.
And he was, like, one of the things I really liked about the villain in this film, as opposed to others, is the fact that he's on a realistic level to Black Panther. Like, he's not a huge monster, like they're often fighting, or, like, the odds are so ridiculous. Because usually they build up the bad guy so much, but you already know the hero is going to win. So it's kind of, and we've seen it so many times. Whereas this time, it's like they're both just ordinary guys in Black Panther suits at the end of the film anyway.
If anything, he's more of like, if you're going into it and you don't really know a huge amount about it, and you're not expecting Eric Killmonger, really the bad guy is Ulysses Claw.
Yeah.
For like probably majority of the movie, almost.
Yeah.
Or at least halfway.
They do a kind of switch partway through and a little bit of a reveal of who he is.
Yeah, it's like, I thought it was done really well. And like you're saying, like, as a good villain, because he has like a real reason about why he's so disenchanted with the way things are and why he wants to take the throne and what he wants to do with all the technology in Wakanda. He doesn't have it like there's some ridiculous reason, like you're saying, it's not just a massive monster that's landed on this planet.
Yeah, it's like not like the alien or the giant robot or what they usually have that just wants world domination for its own sake.
That was
one of the good things about the film. Their motivations were both sort of worked out pretty well, and they had a genuine ideological clash, which made it more impactful while they were fighting. Because basically, at the end of the film, like whichever one wins, that's essentially going to change the direction, possibly, of Wakanda and their political future and which way they're going to go. And the other thing that was sort of interesting with it is that T'Challa's not entirely the good guy, because some of his decisions are not really... You can sort of understand them, but in another way, you can kind of see the other guy's point, that he should be open.
There's a little bit of sympathy for...
Because he's sort of... Wakanda's sort of isolationist and basically keeps all the technology to itself, even though the rest of Africa is struggling and people around the world are struggling. They're not helping anyone.
It is quite interesting that they kind of... In the world of the Marvel Universe, where everything's really a bit out there, they keep it quite grounded in the fact that it is in the centre of Africa. And Africa is still struggling.
Yeah.
And it makes it feel more realistic, in a way, because it has still got the issues that we have.
Like at the beginning of the film, when they had the sort of action sequence involving the kidnapped girls, which is something that's happened even recently in African politics, I felt that was quite a bold decision to include something in the film that's that real. Because I can't remember in other Marvel films, they don't tend to touch on like real-world terrorism or political issues. They tend to make up a fictional terrorist group, but this seemed to be like almost hitting the nail on the head of like a real political or a real terrorist group that's operating in Africa. If there was any sort of issues with the film, there were things that were like there were plot holes and there was some sort of weak storytelling moments and stuff that didn't make sense, but I felt like you were sort of carried along with the sort of humour of the film or the action sequence of the film. And like you say, the set design, the costumes and the acting was all really good. So it's sort of like, I would say similar to other Marvel films, when you come out of it, everyone's sort of overwhelmed and really hyped up. And then a little while after, you start to notice things that's like, oh, that was a bit shaky. But you can sort of forgive it for that. And one of the things that you mentioned earlier was... with the character, his powers come from this drink, and basically it means that anyone who drinks that can have that power.
So the power of the Black Panther.
So he's not particularly special. The only thing that's special about him is the fact that he's the king. So it's a very...
very pro-monarchy.
It is very pro-monarchy, because it's very much just like, yeah, he's obviously the king, so he deserves to be better than everyone else.
Everybody can challenge.
Yeah, everyone can challenge him.
And but they do.
But it was just also the thing at the end was the fact that his suit essentially makes him indestructible is sort of weird, because he becomes a sort of Superman figure, where it's, how are they possibly going to ever defeat him?
Well, he is defeatable. But yeah, I know. Like, for me, like, there was a lot of moments that just during it, I was like, he's never in any real danger.
They then have to write in a way that
yeah.
he can
well, that's,
become
yeah,
vulnerable.
Usually do that in every superhero movie. But yeah. Yeah, that was one of the things with me. Like, well, obviously, when they take away the power of the Black Panther and he had, like, the Trial of Combat, you're like, oh, well, he could.
Yeah.
But you're always thinking, well, he's not really, you know. And it's very, in a little bit of a way, sometimes it's a little bit repetitive, because they did the Trial of Combat at least twice, I think, as well.
Yeah.
You know, but, yeah, for me, it was good. It was really... built the world, and they really had a lot of connections between the characters. There was some, like, really good, like, Michael B. Jordan was a really good villain. I really like Chadwick Boseman as Black Panther. Yeah. I do think he was quite a charismatic guy. He played James Brown in a previous movie. He got to be charismatic to play James Brown.
I would say James Brown's probably more charismatic than
James Brown's on a different level of superhero. He had a cape as well. But Daniel Kaluuya, we haven't mentioned him. He was Wakabi. He was really good. Yeah. Not in it as much as I thought. You know, I think he's quite a big name now. I don't know, yeah. Or at least to me he is. And Letitia Wright was really good as Shuri. And Forest Whitaker was there as Zuri.
Yeah.
What does worry me is Forest Whitaker seems to never survive any movies now.
Yeah.
Which is quite disappointing. But yeah, overall I thought it was really good. It really built the world. And what I liked about it was you cared about the characters, and they all had depth, and it wasn't just very one-dimensional. They were really good.
The acting was really good. The story was probably familiar if you've seen other things. It pushed the envelope, but within the bounds of what you can do in a Marvel Disney
but
movie.
It did have a good villain. And to be fair, it is saying a lot like about gender and politics and race and stuff. There's a lot going on in it that's really... That is quite groundbreaking, especially in a massive blockbuster Disney movie that you might not get. But what really is good for me is, like, I went in and I cared about the people in the movie, and I knew who they all were and the relationships with each other. And that is really, when in some superhero movies, just like, what's going on?
Yeah.
You know, and it's like you're saying, there's no real
character in the films.
There's no real clash of anything. It's just like, that's the superhero, there's the villain.
Yeah.
But there was that.
This
and that's really good.
Like, similar to Civil War, again, you had a genuine sort of clash. And when they're doing the council meeting, you can sense that there is a pull in two different directions of which way they should go, and it's a real decision that they've got to make. So yeah, overall, I would definitely recommend it. If you like Marvel films, it's not going to disappoint you. And it is something different. It's a brand new character and new cast. Even though some of them are sort of like, they're filling roles, which you'll see in the other films, but again, it's just nice to see something different, I suppose, and it's a good lead into
Infinity Wars
as well.
Yeah, I really liked it, so I'm sure everybody's already seen Black Panther. Don't forget to tune in next time, we'll have a review of Lady Bird.